Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional comment and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Back Talk. Now we have a film that's actually on Netflix that our audience can go see. So it depends on how we present ourselves here, whether they're going to want to go see that or not.
I think they will. We'll see.
Well, we don't always, but we do fashion ourselves as cheerleaders for good movies.
We do.
So frequently we have good movies because we know we have a sense of what's going to be good or not.
Yeah.
And when you have a lead such as Glenn Powell, whom not a lot of people know.
I haven't seen him to my knowledge, and I know I haven't seen the female star before this
right
movie.
Yes, we'll talk about
my
her.
Yes.
But Glenn Powell was in recently Top Gun Maverick. He was one of the hot shots.
Okay.
But he has been in several films, and they're now considering him to take the real leading role, which is this is a good test for him. He reminds me a little bit of Ryan Gosling.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was a little bit confused. In fact, when I was looking for it, first I thought it was a Ryan Gosling movie.
I know, yeah. Time will tell whether he has the multiple talents that Ryan Gosling
does.
That's
true. Few do.
Whoa, few is right.
But we're going to compare him favorably with Ryan Gosling today.
Yes, I think anybody who would be compared with him would consider that an honor. All right, it's called Hitman, and starring Glenn Powell. Audra Ahorna, just set it up.
Okay, we have a fellow that is a professor, community college, and he is a professor of philosophy and psychology, which is an interesting combination, which made it sound more like it was community college. And he's in front of his students, and he's presenting an ethical dilemma, and then he goes home, and he has his cat, and he has his little table in his little kitchen. There's only one chair at the little table, which is telling, and he's eating there, and he's very boring, and he's very simple.
A simple soul who's divorced.
But you don't know he's divorced when he first appears. But
correct.
You later meet he's with his best friend, who his ex-wife.
Yes, thank you. A dweeby guy living by himself.
And his name is Gary, by the way.
And so what's the deal, then? I'm not
what
interested
the deal
in some movie
is,
about
no,
this.
No, it's not. But he is technically proficient, and he's a guy that's really up on audio and video and everything else, and he's helping out part-time with the New Orleans Police Department, and they run a sting where they have a number, and that the number is given out into the community that if you want a hitman, you should call this number. They come up short for a hitman to fulfill this role the day that they pick Gary to become the fake hitman.
Bingo. Boy, is he made for it.
He's amazing.
And it reminds me that we'll talk on our podcast, Back Talk, about previous hitman movies in which they claim more than once in this movie there isn't such a thing as a hitman. How do you have 200 movies about hitmen and not have a hitman?
And he articulates the idea that there's this mythology about it and that he's fitting into that because everybody thinks hitmen are available and you can find them, but in any event.
Well, all right, so we've seen John Wick and we've seen the pinnacle of assassination here. So what makes this an interesting movie?
He is so engaging, and he's called up. He's the understudy, and he's called in and is thrown into the role without actually having any script, but he's heard it done. And so he develops a talent of looking at the person that is looking for a hitman and trying to analyze what kind of a hitman would they like. And sometimes they want a German. Oh, that's not a German accent, but in any event, sometimes they want a German. Sometimes they want somebody real seedy. Somebody professorial. Sometimes they want somebody intellectual. He sits down with the file that they've assembled on the people and the information they have, and he decides who he's going to be. And his characters have different names, and they're not stock characters. Each one is developed for each person, which makes it very interesting. And it also allows him in this movie, John, to show a very wide range of acting.
Boy, what an opportunity!
Yeah,
and he does super well. He has to project to his client that he is totally competent.
Yes.
He does a great job, even in the first one, where he just beats him right down with his expertise. His colleagues are all listening on remote devices, and they're just astonished.
Amazed.
How he jumped into this role perfectly. Somewhere he has been located through the police, but for people who are looking for somebody to assassinate someone.
Right.
And often it's matters of love, would you say? Most often?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
love and hate, but yeah.
Yes.
And right. Sometimes love and hate in the same category.
Gee, does that exist? I think it does.
I think it does. Right.
So he does, and he takes this role, and what makes this then worth sitting through the 2 hours?
Because he's a very engaging phony. He's a very engaging actor, and he acts in the movie, and what happens is he gets a call from a young woman who's interested in separating from her husband without going through the legal process of divorce. He doesn't step out of character, but he steps out of his role.
Yes. He breaks, this is a rule you don't break, and this is like saying, don't go to AA. You don't need that help, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. You're fine. Right, go ahead.
You're fine.
Go ahead and drink.
I like you. You don't need that stuff. So for his buddies, this is really breaking the rules. I wonder why.
He talks her out of killing her husband or hiring the hitman.
Yeah. This is always a question as to if we were sitting there, why would we be so interested in this lady? Well, she's downright gorgeous.
She is.
And talk about personality, aggressive. And what I like about Powell's depiction, he doesn't show you that he's falling over or that it isn't the reason that he's interested in her, but you can tell as an actor that he's...
Because we are falling for her, John.
Exactly. Here we are. Real projection here from the audience.
Why isn't he falling in love with...
So they do have a romance. Of course they do. And of course this brings problems.
It does. There's always problems.
I mean, there are two major problems here with the ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this goofball on the police force whom he's substituting for.
Yes.
And boy, is he a wacko.
So he takes his job. And we'll call him the wacko.
Yeah, I know.
The wacko, first fake hitman. And he comes back into the scene, and you just know every time he appears, it's like in the old silent movies where the organ would go to really scary music.
You
when Simon Legree came out.
He has a permanent persona of the stringy long hair and the druggy-looking guy.
Yeah.
But he's been effective.
Yeah.
And he's been a hitman for them, and he's done his job.
But our character, the lead in this, has been more effective because of the way that he caters to the individual clients.
Yeah.
Where the other guy is simply, hey, I'll kill him for you.
But
go ahead.
His life gets complicated. How do they handle the romance? It always interests me. The romance is in everybody's life. It certainly has been in my life. You've been lucky enough to have a great lady that you never have to worry about anybody else. But I've had more than one where it is difficult to navigate the relationships. How does this work in the movie?
The romance is very convincing, and their physical interaction with each other, the sex, it's not graphic like as graphic as Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton in Monsters Ball, but it's believable. Subtle, but believable, and very powerful. And it's obvious that they're both falling in love with each other.
Yeah.
Well, certainly in lust, but falling in love as well.
And I understand this may be Linklater's first real sex scene. The director, Richard Linklater, whose name everybody knows, but it actually, and it's a steamy one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're bringing a point that I think a lot of people really appreciate in this. There is a good identification between the two of them. Between the actors. And it's always the question is, did they get involved not on screen or not? And who knows, except that they are paid handsomely to act like they really have fallen in love with each other.
Yes.
And they do.
It's
appreciate convincing. It is convincing, which immediately you can say, don't do that. Do not go there. You're supposed to be a hitman, and this is just not going to work out.
And she and he, they're irresistible to each other, is what actually happens. They're like two magnets that got close enough together.
I like the conjunction of his classroom lectures with what he's doing. Did you see any of that?
I did, and the thing is that there's the first one and there's the last one. There was an intervening one which didn't impress me one way or the other, but the last one shows that he has changed. He's seized life by the throat, and he's living his best life. Because that's what he's decided he's going to do, and that's what he's trying to tell. That's what he tells his students that they should do.
Yes. And what's so interesting is that Nietzsche, notwithstanding, and any other philosopher, or Sartre, any other philosopher, is interested in the identity, self-identity, and the creation of yourself. In the contemporary world, this is a big topic for us. Facebook, wherever you can create your persona, How does that stay with you? Can you change your personality? Are you always the same, but you're just role-playing? This is where I see that lecture. Mm-hmm. He is living a life of changing roles, because right. that's what he does as a job.
His real life is in a real role now.
Yeah.
Well, what he says, in the, not to get, but he's become the best parts of himself, Gary, and his character, Ron, who was the best character. And that's the character that he displayed for her, everybody loved.
So we'll remind the people who haven't fallen asleep that we're talking about Hitman.
To have some coffee and listen to the rest.
We're talking about Hitman with the new leading man, Glenn Powell, and most talented young woman, Audra Arjona. Mm-hmm. And the two of them are great Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of couple.
Yeah, I hadn't thought that, but you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So now, Gary, can you think of any Hitman movies? Anything that comes to your mind when you think about them? Because I have a list of...
I hope you will refresh me. I have memory of some Hitman
well,
movies,
you...
but The Manchurian Candidate's the only thing that comes to mind, and that's so far removed from this that it never occurred to me until you asked me for another Hitman movie.
Haven't you and I reviewed a John Wick? How about
the
that?
The most recent one.
How about that? Could that be... A hitman?
Well, it's not really a hitman movie because he's not been hired to hit somebody. He's come out of retirement because somebody killed his dog and stole his car.
Right, right.
So it's a revenge kind of thing. And remember that his dog was given to him. It was the last gift that his wife had given him before she died.
Ah, yes.
So that's a revenge movie. That's not... Now, there were lots of hitmen in that movie.
Well, I'm thinking...
None of them was more believable than his character... In this movie, when he was pretending to be a hitman, in terms of the pitch, yeah.
So are you interested in any others?
I'm interested in what do you suggest
these are,
we consider?
And I think you're right. John Wick may not be a hired assassin, although I can't... I'm thinking...
No, he is an assassin.
Good.
It's not an assassin movie.
Oh, thank you. Yes, good. All right, so we agree on that. He is an assassin, and probably the most prominent one these days, although I would say I really like Denzel Washington in Equalizer.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, there's a group of us going to the Amalfi Coast next year because of Equalizer 3, where he sets his most recent Equalizer. And as long as
I... You know, John, that Denzel will not be there when you go. That's, that's
right.
A rough town.
I'll tell you.
You know, that's a rough town. I don't know if you want to go.
I think maybe my favorite assassin, can you believe that, out of 200 films, my favorite, and I know you've seen this, and you might even agree, in No Country for Old Men...
Oh, my gosh. Sugar.
Yes.
Sugar like Anton Sugar is a psychopathic killer.
He carries around a tank or something.
Yeah, it's for killing cattle.
Yes. And
these people stand there while he applies it to their heads.
And I love
He's
it.
So convincing. He's so terrifying you don't want to take your eyes off
Yeah, this is Javier Bardem. So anyway, you...
This movie is not like that.
No. Actually, not at all. That's a good point. We recently had, a couple of years ago... The Killer with Michael Fassbender, which I don't think you saw.
I don't remember seeing
it. Yeah, very intense about it. It's much more realistic than the one that we're talking about today. Tom Hanks in Road to Perdition.
Oh, that was so good.
I know.
Well, I think he kills people and then he's running. And he double-crossed. It was Paul Newman played the head of the gang.
Well, right. I'm not sure you saw, but I love In Bruges.
I didn't see it at all, so
okay.
I stumbled upon it.
Colin
before,
Farrell.
Yeah, before it was it had started without.
So these are two guys waiting for their orders from the boss. And, more in the popular vein, Tom Cruise, actually very, very charming.
Oh, yes, with Jamie Foxx as the car driver, the Uber driver or cab driver.
Yes,
yeah.
Collateral.
Yeah, that
nice.
Was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
He Fox can't get away from him. The guy is taking the ride. And he's going to his jobs, isn't he? And
yes. Twist in Collateral was the important woman was involved.
Okay.
Because Jamie Foxx, he had given her a ride, and then he realized where they were going, and then he transformed. And you're right, John, because he transforms for this woman in this movie that we're reviewing right now. He transforms in response to the circumstances based on his... connection with her.
Very nice. Look
well,
at
you set me up. You just keep handing it John like it's T-ball.
All right, but here's one. You're not going to remember this. Okay, and I don't remember the circumstances until I researched this. The Iger Sanction.
Oh my gosh, I was thinking that when you were talking earlier with...
Of course, we know with...
Yes.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Climbing in Switzerland.
He's climbing, but the reason that, he's discovered as the enemy assassin is because he limps when his leg gets cold.
You remember, actually, he was a professor, too.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, the conjunction with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the professor, the assassin. Nice. Yeah. Well, I was hiking in Switzerland.
Yes.
And I looked over a Grunewald area, and I looked over, and that was actually the Eiger.
The Eiger.
Yeah, it was there. Here's one I know that you don't know, but because of my
challenge now,
my friends Keith and Lula have a daughter who reminded me when she was about 16 or 17 of this young woman who is trained by her dad to be an assassin. And this is called, the movie is called Hannah, and it stars Saoirse Ronan. And I know a lot of people haven't seen it. Boy, to me, she was a revelation. I'm about done with this. There's a movie way, way back with Lee Marvin called The Killers. It was long ago. Don Siegel had also done Clint Eastwood's detective stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm getting tired of this because I know one. And okay. You're going to be mad that we didn't even talk about it. Say it.
I won't get angry.
But who most of our audience, mm-hmm. remember 75% of our audience is college educated, which means most of them have seen Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that great? Talk about assassins.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson and his partner are there, and the guys are drug dealers. And they're there. I think it's different. Are you an assassin when you're an enforcer for a drug kingpin? And you're not getting your
well,
money?
Well, hell, they're riding that elevator and they're joking around and they're actually going to blow away these college students. I think that I would call them assassins. Murderers, maybe, but assassin makes more sense to me, right? You're saying they're not hired by somebody? Or?
Well, he's hired, but it's the drug king. It's the drug lord, and there's regular employees. They're not hired assassins. They're the enforcers for the drug cartel or whoever.
Oh,
so
are we hair splitting here about the term assassin?
I like to split hairs. Yeah.
Boy, wow, assassin.
Are you an assassin if it's your regular job to be an enforcer? Because sometimes they break legs, John.
When I'm thinking of assassin, I'm thinking they have
a
particular assignment to kill. Right. So I maybe it's too loose of a definition with assassin.
Yeah, John, you need to tighten it up a little bit.
I'm going to do that after this, but I'm not going to do it now because I think. We are awfully close. God, we blather on.
We need to come up with something, insightful, John.
Now, how do we become in the top 10 of NPR movie podcast? How is that possible?
They're not listening to your shows with me, John. They're listening to your shows with other guests.
All right, so long ago we were talking about a movie called Hitman on Netflix.
Which is so fun.
With Glenn Powell.
The lady.
Oh, yes, Audra. Arjona.
Okay.
The two of them doing a terrific job, like Brangelina or something. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm dazed now from this more than half an hour. All right, Gary Hammond.
And John DeSanto.
Yes. Gary, what do you advise our audience about Hitman?
I think that it's on Netflix, so if you're subscribed to Netflix, this is easy. And if you're not subscribed, you should think about it.
Yeah. Advertisements are not bad. The intrusion now, mm-hmm. unless you pay the extra fee.
We paid the extra fee.
So. You did. I may do that.
Yeah.
Even the little bit that they do is truly annoying. Yeah. Anyway, so Wallace there, but as you said, you have the option not even to leave your home.
You know what Yogi Berra said?
He did say.
When you come to a fork in the road, take it. So so if you've got Netflix, or if you are interested in looking at Netflix to see if you like it, this movie is a good introduction because you'll catch your hook.
And maybe, as the man might have said, when it's over, it's over.
Yes. I think he said that too.